Good evening, everyone. This is Veronica Entwistle. You've tuned in to Paradigm Shifters, and our paradigm shifter has been shifting paradigms for quite a few years right now, and most of you know his name, Dr. Joe Vitale from The Secret and many other places, right? Welcome to the show.
Hey, my pleasure to be here. It's always exciting to talk to you, so thank you.
You know what I love the most about your work as a good... I consider myself a good metaphysician,
yeah.
But your work is always, you're always putting kind of the next realm of possibility up for people. And the latest book, At Zero, The Quest for Miracles, through Ho'oponopono, right?
There you go, Ho'oponopono, you said it.
Yeah, and there is a description here I was reading on what each section of that long word means. But it's a Hawaiian healing technique. Let's refresh people. They've probably heard it. But I just want to remind them that before you did The Secret and all the Law of Attraction stuff, you were already quite involved in metaphysics, weren't you?
I've been involved in metaphysics since I was a teenager.
Well, that was only a last few years, wasn't it?
That was just a couple days ago, actually.
Yeah.
I just left puberty, so look out. So I was involved in metaphysics for a long time. And the Law of Attraction, of course, changed my life, and so did Ho'oponopono when that came around about 10 years ago. And I'm a guy who's searching, growing, learning, awakening, and as I find things that make a difference, I end up writing about them so I can share them with others. It seems to be my life calling and my great joy to do it. So that's what I'm doing. Now, as for Ho'oponopono, that's a Hawaiian healing technique, and until my first book came out, Zero Limits, about 8 years ago, nobody really knew about it because it was a cultural secret. It was underground. Nothing really written about it. It was pretty private. Very few people knew about it. But
this,
I had heard
this
about
book was reminding me that years ago, when we were visiting friends, what was circulating on the internet was this story.
Yes.
And I remember catching it. So go ahead and tell people what it was.
Well, that's pretty amazing. That story itself is a nice story. Because I had heard about a therapist who helped heal an entire ward of mentally ill criminals using some weird metaphysical Hawaiian healing technique, and there was nothing on it at the time, so I had to really do some digging. But I did find that therapist and interviewed the therapist, ended up writing a book with the therapist, doing 3 seminars with the therapist, getting personal training with the therapist, and I had written a story about him healing that mental ward. And I gave a little bit of information about Ho'oponopono, and I told the essence it had to deal with love and forgiveness. And son of a gun, I sent that article, that little story. It wasn't a book or anything. It was just the story.
Yeah, it's probably just a couple of pages, maybe.
Yeah, it was like 500, 600 words. I sent it to my personal email list at the time, and it must have resonated because those people sent it out, and it went around the planet.
Yes.
I mean, millions of people read that, reread that, passed it to all their family and friends. You talk about a viral marketing campaign. That was an example. And why were people doing it? It was really because they had never heard of such an amazing, miraculous story with such simplicity behind it. And the key message, of course, was personal responsibility in a level most people had never even considered before.
Mm-hmm.
So it really, it opened up a lot of people. It pushed a lot of buttons, too, but it opened up a lot of people.
It was really exciting. And the doctor, is Dr. Hugh Lin, is that it?
Yeah, his full name is Dr. E. Haleakala Hu Lin. And most people just call him Dr. Hu Lin since it's easier. But he was the therapist that I found, and he co-authored the first book with me and a dear friend who's helped me a lot, and we've done a lot of things together.
Well, it's really interesting because the whole principle of the book of that concept was he did a lot of healing work with a lot of criminally insane people, but he never even met them, did he?
Well, he met them because he was working at the hospital, but he didn't see them in a professional capacity. He didn't see them as a therapist-patient kind of a relationship. He didn't see them as a traditional doctor would. So he saw them in the halls, he saw them at lunch, that kind of thing. So he saw them. But all of the work that was done, and this is what's so powerful and what's so key to understanding, is that all of the work he did was done on himself. As he healed himself of whatever was surfacing within him that he would consider a problem or concern, the outer that he was looking at would get better. That is what's so remarkable. As he took care of himself, and this is the implication for all of us, he was dealing with an entire ward of mentally ill criminals. We don't have to deal with that. We're dealing with employees and employers and family and friends and spouses and neighbors and this, that, and the other. We can handle that by using the very same thing he did by working on the inside of ourselves.
So what he said basically is there is no out there. Everything is inside, right?
Yeah, and that's another one people really wrestle with. They're going, huh, my neighbor isn't outside, my spouse isn't outside. What? That doesn't make any sense. And on one level, it doesn't, but I have come to know that this is the new reality, that everything we see outside of ourselves is absolutely a reflection of what is inside of ourselves. Hmm. And if we don't like something on the outside, it's not going to help to try to wrestle that to the ground. What will help is to take care of our issue within ourselves. When we take care of the belief, the perception, the program, the filter, whatever you want to call that mindset, when you take care of that, then what you're seeing on the outside will appear to change. What really happened is that it changed on the inside of you. It's a huge concept, but it's immensely empowering at the same time to realize you don't have to wait on the outer to change. What you really do is change yourself.
I think what happened to me way back when was how humbling it is, too.
Mm.
You know, you have to get out of your whatever you call it. I was just thinking about Dr. Lynn Hugh saying there is no such thing as ego, because I was going to say it was an ego thing, right?
Yeah. But, and that's another, there's so many profound things that have come out of this, and this is why I wanted to write the sequel to the first book. This new book that's out now, At Zero, picks up where the other one left off. I've heard all the questions, I've heard all the concerns, I've heard all the comments, and I wanted to address them. Plus, I've had 7 years worth of experience now doing this, and I have my own awakenings and insights and satori's that I wanted to put in the book. But one of the ones Dr. Hulen said is that there is no such thing as ego. And that's another one that makes people get whiplash and go, what?
These are like Zen koans, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah, in a way it is. He's got a lot of those. He's got his zingers here, and he can just keep you in a state of feeling like you were just tased. But what he was saying is that ego is really what the Ho'oponopono spirituality would call data. Mm. And data is beliefs. Data are our past experiences, our beliefs, our mindset, our programming, our trance. All of that has created this energy vortex that we call data. The rest of the world would say that's our ego. Mm-hmm. And what Dr. Hulen says is that that's actually imaginary. That's actually an accumulation of all your beliefs. And the whole point of this book and the other book, the whole point of Ho'oponopono is for us to get clear of all of those beliefs, because they're interfering with us listening to divinity, listening to inspiration, and hearing what God, if you will, has for us.
Well, let's tell people or remind people of the prayer, the Ho'oponopono prayer, because it's so simple. It's so
exactly.
Simple. Yeah.
And that's the beauty of it. So, so simple, almost deceptively simple. Basically, you're saying four phrases. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. That's it. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. You can say them in any order. You can mix them up. It's all a personal preference kind of a thing. I typically just say them the way I've been saying them. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you.
And you can say them fast, can you?
Say that?
You can say them fast, can you?
I can. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I can probably even do it faster, but that was...
But what I mean is it's just as effective, right?
That's great. We've got a double meaning with the word fast. You're right. I can say it really fast, and it gets very fast results. That's pretty charming there. But I wanted to make sure people understand that when you say these phrases, whether you say them really fast or really slow, and whether you say them out loud or to yourself, you're not saying them to another person. You're saying them to your connection to your creator.
Okay.
And for some people, they'll call that God. For somebody else, they'll call it the divine. Somebody can call it nature. They can call it Gaia. There's different words for it, but I believe we're all pointing to the same thing. Dr. Hulen would call it the divine. Mm. So these four phrases, said fast or slow, are said to your personal connection to divinity as a kind of prayer. It's a song, if you will. It's a psalm, if you will. It's a magic open sesame. It's the magic words to say to align yourself with the divine. And this is what I wanted to explain in the new book so people really understood it. There were so many misconceptions, you know, when people were trying to do it and thinking that, you know, they had a handle on it when they really didn't.
Yeah, and also, do you want to go back to that book, which was called Zero Limits, was it?
Yeah, the first book was called Zero Limits.
Was that the one where you had such a huge backlash? Yeah,
I did. Mm-hmm. I did, and I talk about that in the new book. But when Zero Limits came out, you have to imagine, I'm this author who's already achieved some degree of fame and fortune, and I was in a movie and this, that, and the other. And I had discovered this technique that I thought, this is the most profound, miraculous, yet simple, easy, absolutely free thing that people can do. It's a kind of a meditation, and anybody can do it. And look at the results. So I expected the world to put me on its shoulders and march me down the street in a parade.
With some tubas.
tubas and saxophones and the drums and, you know, cheerleaders and dancing bears and the whole bit.
You bet.
And so you've got, you know, this is what I expected. But what I got was people hated the book and they hated me. They even said I made up the story, that I made up Dr. Hulin. A lot of people were posting reviews on Amazon before the book was even readily available. They didn't have time to even read it. And some people openly said, I never even read the book, but I don't trust this Joe Vitale guy. This story doesn't sound true. It doesn't sound possible.
You went viral.
I went viral again, right? Well, they even named a virus after me.
Oh, my gosh.
And
really?
There was a Vitale virus going around at the same time, and I was so appalled. And yet at the same time, a friend of mine said, boy, you must be really famous to have a virus named after you. I thought, well, I guess that's the positive side.
Well, I think my first, I have two questions to ask. One is, did you find the origin? Is this an ancient Hawaiian prayer? Is that what it is?
No, it's actually more modern.
Oh, really?
There's two kinds of Ho'oponopono. And this is another reason I wrote this new book at zero, because I wanted to people to know where it came from. I wanted them to know the history.
Good.
The traditional Ho'oponopono was a group problem-solving process. I mean, literally, it was a group. If there was a problem in a family or in a community or in a little village.
Or in a Congress.
Anything like that. But this is in Hawaii, so it was, you know, a long time ago. And so these people would get together, and there'd usually be a leader, and it was usually a father figure, usually a tribal leader of some sort. And they would take turns airing out their problems, their differences, trying to get to a resolution where they can forgive each other and get to a place of love. Hmm. And it was a long process. It could take hours to days to weeks to do that.
And they just kept repeating this like a mantra?
Well, they never even said the four phrases because they didn't have them at that time.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That's the old school Ho'oponopono. Hmm. The new Ho'oponopono, the one that has the four phrases and the one I'm teaching and writing about and the one we're talking about, this was given to us by a teacher by the name of Morna. Morna was Dr. Hulin's teacher.
Hmm.
Morna was awakened, and she received the information that Ho'oponopono didn't need anybody else. You can do any healing, any loving, any forgiving by yourself.
Hmm.
She was also inspired to understand that you can do it with these four phrases, which she taught to Dr. Hulin, and Dr. Hulin taught to me. Hmm. And, of course, I'm passing it on. So there's two kinds of Ho'oponopono, and both are still around. The old school is still practiced in Hawaii. The group problem-solving method. Some therapists even use it. They get groups together, they talk, they air it out, blah, blah, blah. Apparently, it seems to help them. I love the Morna approach, the modern Ho'oponopono, because you don't need anybody else. It's you and the universe. It's you and your connection to divinity, and you're saying the four phrases. So all of this came from Morna, and all of it is to give us the power to heal ourselves and to clean up our lives.
Mm. And so when, just to jump back for a minute, in the hospital with all the criminally insane, have you ever spoken to any of the people that were healed at that experience?
I spoke to the social workers and the nurses that had worked with Dr. Hulin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not allowed to speak to the patients because of their privacy laws and so forth, so I never spoke to any one of them. But I spoke to the people that had worked there, and so they could tell me their view. And they said they thought Dr. Hulen was a little odd because he would sit in his office and he would look at his files and he didn't really interact with anybody. But they liked him. He was charming in an eccentric way. But what they noticed was within a month or so, they didn't notice it the first day or the first week, but within a month or so, they noticed that the vibration, the whole energy, if you will, seemed to shift. It seemed to get lighter. And some of the nurses and social worker went to Dr. Hulen and said, "We don't know what you're doing, but whatever it is, do it for us too." Hmm. And then some of them wanted to be trained. They'd say, "Well, whatever you're doing, please tell us how to do it." So they saw something going on, and they couldn't directly pinpoint what was going on, and how could they, of course, because Dr. Hulen's doing it all inside himself. You can't tell what he's thinking. Mm-hmm. You can't tell he's saying, "I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you," as he's sitting in his office drinking coffee and looking at files.
So tough job, eh? He doesn't even get his hands dirty.
Right. Hey, so somebody had to do it, right?
Well, let me swing back to you and go, well, okay, when you put the story out and so many people sort of betrayed you, I want to say, but kind of beat you up verbally and so on, how did you take that within yourself? How did you respond
Great
to
question.
That?
Great question. And it's one of the reasons I wanted to tell the story in the new book, At Zero, so that people could really follow along and see that I went through my own dark night of the soul. And yes, I did have a betrayal of a best friend, and yes, I did have all of these arrows shot at me, and yes, it did hurt. I was hurt, I was appalled, I was disappointed.
You were shocked too, right?
I was absolutely almost traumatized by it, because it was so counter to what I expected from the public. Now, you know, at the same time, there were praise, and there were many people whose lives were changed, and a lot of applause, but the daggers in my back really did hurt.
Yeah.
And so what did I do? I had to look at the very thing I was teaching. I had to say, wait a minute, I just wrote a book called Zero Limits, and now I just wrote the follow-up called At Zero, saying that everything that has to be handled needs to be handled inside yourself. I can't complain about reviews on Amazon. I can't complain about a friend who betrays me. I can't complain about any of my disappointment. What I have to do is do what I tell people to do, what Dr. Hulen taught me to do. Mm-hmm. Go within myself, feel my feelings, my upset, my shock, my trauma, and say, "I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you," to my connection to divinity, in the hopes that it would dilute what was going on in me and erase what was going on in me so that the outer would change.
Well, you're allowed to cry into your pillow first, aren't you?
You cry into your pillow, you beat your pillow, you have a karate match with your pillow, and the pillow wins for a while.
But so, you're allowed to do that. That's all right.
It was me and the pillow, so, you know, nobody was hurt in the process. No pillows were harmed in the process.
But I guess I'm thinking when you were going through all that, it must have hurt a lot, and it's pretty difficult for us to turn around in a maelstrom of attacks, if you will, to just be completely centered in that, right?
And I was not completely centered in that moment. Right. But what I did trust is that this simple healing method works. So I started doing it on this particular issue, the whole issue of me being traumatized by betrayal and criticism. And here's where it gets interesting, because as I did it, guess what? All of that died down and went away.
Hmm.
To the point that, so my new book comes out, right, At Zero. And a part of me holds my breath for a second thinking, okay, am I going to get the hailstorm at me again? And I do all the work within myself to find my inner peace and go, okay, I feel content. I feel fine. Let's release the book. Well, I checked today, and there's 65 five-star reviews of the book.
Woohoo!
So, again, it wasn't about me going out and trying to convince reviewers or the public that, hey, this is a great book, and this is a real system, and you can see Dr. Hulen on YouTube. He's very real, and I'm a nice guy. I'm really doing this out of a noble purpose, and I want to make a difference in the world. I didn't have to do any of that. What I had to do was what I tell everybody to do. You go inside yourself, and what's bothering you is in you. It's not out there. It's in you. And when you take care of that, then what you perceive on the outer disappears.
I like the way you call it clean on that. You want to talk about that? It's a great line.
Yeah, clean on that. That's a phrase directly from Dr. Hulen. It's his favorite thing to say, because you'll tell him whatever's going on in your life, he'll say, "I'll clean on it." I went to pick him up one time because he was staying at a local bed and breakfast, and I said, what have you been doing in the last couple hours? He said, watching the news. And I said, watching the news? Why would you watch the news? And he said, I'm cleaning on it.
Oh, great.
No matter what was going on, his answer was cleaning on it. And what I understood that to mean is that whatever he's observing that's triggering something in him, he's cleaning on the triggers in him. He's cleaning on the buttons that have been pushed in him so that he can be at peace. And the more he's at peace, the more the outer resolves into peace. This is the very thing he did with the mental institution. Didn't try to change them. He tried to change himself. Mm-hmm. When he did, lo and behold, they got better.
So you're both shining away here, aren't you? So I think this is so exciting. So you've already led us through like the law of attraction and the secret and all that. Can you link those processes? Like, how is your manifestation ability now? Does it affect it? Does it?
I love that question. You know, I was a guy who was homeless once and in poverty, and I truly know what it's like to feel like a victim. I'm the same guy who went into empowerment, which is another stage of awakening that I describe in the new book. And of course, ended up in the movie The Secret, which shot me into outer space in terms of fame and recognition. And I kept growing because I know that it doesn't end there. Life is a process of awakening, and I'm still learning. So I went from victimhood, I went into empowerment, learned about the law of attraction and the law of creation, all things that I've talked about. But then I noticed that at some point, I don't have the personal power to change some of the things that are out there. For example, several years ago, here in Texas, where I live, we had the wildfires that were destroying hundreds of homes and thousands of acres, and they were approaching my own home. Mm-hmm. And I thought, boy, if I truly had the power, I would make it rain. I would put those fires out. And I got to a point where I realized, you know, you have power up to a point. You have a lot of power. We have more power than any of us ever really imagined. Mm-hmm. But at some point, we have to let go. We have to surrender. And surrender doesn't mean give up. It means work with something bigger and greater. And that's where Ho'oponopono came in, because it linked everything that I was personally trying to do with divinity itself. And so I found that this is all a process of evolution, all a process of awakening. Today, my power to manifest is off the charts, and the things that occur for me are on the level of miracles, especially when you consider that I was homeless at once, and now today I'm this author, celebrity. I'm now a musician. I got my 7th album coming out in a week.
Wow. But
this is amazing. How does this happen at this level for me at this point? I use Ho'oponopono to get clear of any limiting beliefs, negativity, paradigms that are blocking my own good. Most people are still trying to manifest within a locked-in paradigm, meaning that they're trying to create something or attract something while locked into a box of beliefs that doesn't allow them to move around or to create something that's truly magnificent. When I do Ho'oponopono, I'm doing it to get clear, to clean on, if you will, anything that's in the way of me experiencing the miracle that's possible from the inspiration that can come in this moment. So all of this works together, law of attraction, law of creation, all of this, Ho'oponopono, they work together. Nothing's being dismissed
Go ahead. I just wanted to interrupt for a sec, because what you're saying is you're scouring away all the things that we kind of have believed in, like the soul journey and the karma and the
Absolutely.
Taking responsibility and melting it because you're forgiving
Absolutely.
Yourself.
Those are two big issues right there. Full responsibility is another one that's a foundation to Ho'oponopono, and it's another one people don't like. Mm-hmm. Because in Ho'oponopono, it says you are entirely responsible for everything in your life experience. And most people hear that and think it means I'm responsible for what I say and do. But that's not all. According to Dr. Hu Lan, who first told me this by saying, Joe, have you ever heard the phrase, you create your own reality? I said, well, of course, I say you create your own reality. I write about it. I'm one of the spokespeople about that. He said, well, if you create your own reality and there's somebody in front of you that is angering you or somebody just pulled out in traffic in front of you, or, as in his case, you're in front of a mentally ill criminal who's been shackled or sedated because he's so violent, did you not create that too?
Hmm.
Wow. The first time he gave me that, it stretched my mind like taffy, and it never really went back, because it gives us a quantum leap in understanding responsibility.
Hmm.
From the perspective of Ho'oponopono, everything in our experience, we are directly responsible for. And now, I've been teaching this enough to know that a lot of people, when they hear responsibility, think blame.
Mm-hmm.
And I want them to know this is not about blame. It's not about being wrong. It's not about feeling guilty. It's about just accepting that what's going on, you in some way, shape, or form have a hand in it. And that's the great news, because you can also untangle it
mm-hmm.
by working inside.
Yeah, because most people feel an incredible powerlessness about what's going on out there, right?
Exactly. And that's part of the problem, is that they're looking out there.
Mm-hmm.
For Dr. Hulin, he says there is nothing out there. One of his favorite questions is, have you ever noticed that when there is a problem, you are there?
Mm-hmm.
And it's to make us pause and reflect on, we're the common denominator. You know? And so if there is a problem or a series of problems or something like that, and we're always the one complaining, we're the one that needs to change.
I know that.
Pretty profound stuff.
I know, and you did say a while back, you said something that I've heard recently several times from different people, which is, we have no idea how powerful we are. We are so incredibly powerful. But
we are.
That's a big jump.
We are incredibly powerful, but there's another paradigm shift even beyond that. Because, first of all, most people don't even know that they're powerful. They think they're little itsy-wipsy, bitsy ants, you know, and they just kind of bounce around off of life, reacting to everything. And if they're lucky, they wake up to some personal power, and they get to strut a little bit, and they get to feel their oats, and they get to manifest a few things. But there's something even beyond that. And what I've learned is that when I merge with the power of divinity, then I have moved into a capacity of creation that blows my own mind, that would blow anybody's mind, because now we leave what we think is possible and to go into creating what others might think is impossible.
Mm-hmm.
We leave the paradigm of limitation, even empowered limitation, and we move into the paradigm of unlimited possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
That's the place where, this is where the title of the book comes from, because you get to the place of being at zero.
Right.
At zero. No limiting beliefs, no filters, no negative perceptions, none of the programming that we've all been given that says you don't have power or you have some power. All of that is programming.
Mm-hmm. Or it's lineage, or it's your astrology, or it's your this or your that, right?
That's all. You know what Dr. Hulin would say, to be blunt? Dr. Hulin would say, it's all bullshit. That's
oh,
what
dear.
He would say. We did seminars together in the second seminar. That was his answer to almost every question somebody would ask. It's all bullshit.
I love that. So what about, have you got any stories? I know you do, because the book's just full of them. This is a really good book, everybody. It's called At Zero. But it's the kind of book that really makes you trip over your own thoughts, and you have to kind of work on them. But do you have any tidbits about people who were very ill, or that kind of thing, or even broken?
Between the first book and this new book, over the last 8 or 9 years, because I've done the seminars and been with Dr. Hulin, I've heard just about everything you can imagine. I'm a big pet lover, you know, so I've heard about the people who had pets that were ill, and it really looked like they had to put them to sleep. And what they did instead was to go inside themselves, not inside the puppy, and they're not thinking about, how do I change the puppy? What they're thinking is, how do I find my inner peace around this situation?
Mm.
And saying, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, to dilute the beliefs and the buttons and the lack and the limitation and all that programming, all that data, all that BS that's in them. And when they would find that, somehow or other, this is where the miracle takes place, that animal would get better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's only one example. I mean, I've gotten phone calls. There was one fellow who, he had a twin brother, and the brother had died.
Mm-hmm.
And this really bothered the existing twin at this point. I mean, everything from losing his twin brother to the impact of feeling like he died or he was about to die. This was consuming him. It's hard to imagine just how it's not just grief, but there's also the expectation of his own forthcoming death. And how is he going to get around that? And he read the first book, Zero Limits, so he learned the basic technique and was doing that until he got to a place of peace and serenity. And serenity is a powerful place to be, because if you could imagine, he's full of grief, he's full of fear, he might even be full of anger, then ends up serene. I mean, this man managed to get a hold of me on the phone, which is no easy task because I don't give out the numbers. And he gets a hold of me on the phone, which is, I guess that's a miracle in itself. And he's telling me the story, and there's this peace and love around him that has come from this. I mean, it is just amazing. And, of course, there's relationship problems that people resolve. I know one woman came to one of the seminars that Dr. Hulen and I did together, and I think her story's in the book At Zero, and she was talking about her sister always complaining and her sister always being upset, and it was bothering her. And she used to argue with her sister, like, why don't you see things differently? Why don't you be more positive? Why don't you read a happy book? Why don't you change? Well, she learned Ho'oponopono, started doing the four phrases, and she'd still meet with her sister, and her sister would go into her campaign of complaining. But this time, the woman who used Ho'oponopono would just kind of smile and say the phrases inside herself. As she was finding her own sense of peace and serenity, her sister not only shut up, but started to change and started to speak positively.
And then right there in the moment, sort of thing.
Right, that's right there in the moment. That goes back to it happens fast. And I know an IRS agent who's been using it. I know a car salesman who's been using it and claiming that there are less audits or the audits go smoother when the IRS agent uses it. And the car salesman says that he sells more cars. In fact, he held the record for selling cars in 1 year. And he says all he does differently is he meets with customers just like anybody does. He talks with customers just like anybody does. He shows cars just like any salesperson does. The only difference is he's saying, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, inside himself as he's going through those steps. And he openly says that's the reason he's successful. He's cleaning anything. He's getting clear of anything in the way of him attracting sales, abundance, more income. I mean, the stories just go on and on and on. I wish I could remember more, but they're in both books, and they're probably all over the Internet.
Yeah, there's a one. Yeah, you betcha. Is there anything in here on Fukushima, for example?
On what?
The big meltdown in Japan, the big
nuclear
meltdown.
No, I don't think so.
But I was just thinking as we were talking about that, that would be a really wonderful thing for us all to do as well.
Well, it would. Anything, and this goes back to Dr. Hulen watching the news. If he's watching the news and he hears about an earthquake or a volcano or who knows, something flood somewhere, he's going to go within himself and say, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. And he's really petitioning the divine to clean up the mess. Please rectify this. I don't watch the news. I don't want that programming in my head. But I know when I'm on the Internet, I leave some websites, there's news bulletins that show up on some of them.
Yes, for sure.
And usually they're the top five or the most worst of the day. So wonderful for me to see, right?
Right.
And so I see them, and in the past I go, I kind of grumble and just kind of escape from the website and get out of there. But now I look at it and I pause and I'll reflect and go, okay, I don't know where it came from, but let's take care of it. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. Trusting that on some level my plea is going to go to help in some way to help with that, whatever the headline was.
I like that. That's really inspiring, isn't it? It's funny because people say these days, it's not all about you, you know, and then I go, well, actually it is. And, and everything you're saying, I'm going, yeah, it really is. It's all about me.
It's all about you, is right. There's your new bumper sticker. It really is all about you.
And maybe this is the shift, you know what I mean? Maybe this is what we're really experiencing. What do you think?
Well, I do think it's part of the shift. Instead of looking outside, instead of blaming anybody else, it's not only taking our power back and making better choices, but it's cleaning up our mental system, our belief system. When we're born, we don't come in totally as blank slates. according to Ho'oponopono, we come in with programming that was brought in from ancestors, and the science of epigenetics even proves that.
Yeah, it's not even just our own, is it? It's a whole...
No, we come in prepackaged. I mean, we're already kind of like software that's loaded up. But when we're born, we start downloading all this information from family and friends, and they're very innocent. They're not trying to program us in a negative way, but they're also programmed.
Yeah.
And so they tell us, you know, there's not enough money, or rich people are bad, or there's not enough good people to go around, or watch your back, it's a scary world. And we just absorb all that innocently because it's survival programming.
Right.
But when we get to this point, when we get to listen to a wonderful show like this and our paradigm shifts and our mind opens up and we start to feel new power, this is when we can change ourselves and make a massive difference in the planet. Mm-hmm. So the forthcoming people are even clearer than the ones who came before.
And the ones that are born into it, right?
Yes, yes.
Gosh. Tell us about your musical career here.
Thank you. Well, that's a wonderful thing for me to get to talk about. You know, 3 years ago, I was not a musician.
Oh, that's a wonderful story already. I love it.
3 years ago, I was not a musician. I mentioned earlier I have my 7th album coming out next week. Seven.
Oh, wow.
I know full-time professional musicians that don't have 7 albums.
Well, you came out in a big burst.
But here's how it's happened, though. 3 years or so ago, I know I looked around and I was looking at my bucket list and I'm thinking, what haven't I done? What do I want to do? And music had always been on the list, but I never really pursued it. I decided to pursue it. And as soon as I decided to pursue it, all kind of limitations showed up in my brain.
Good to hear that.
Everything from who are you to write songs? Who are you to play the guitar? Who are you to sing? Who are you to imagine going into the studio and making music that anybody's going to want to hear? And who are you at your age to learn how to play the guitar, learn how to write songs, and learn how to do all of this? Oh, Lord, did I hear all of the negative limiting beliefs surface, because it was in an area of my life that I hadn't addressed it in.
Mm-hmm.
And I've openly said to people, whenever you reach for something bigger than what you've done in the past, there's bound to be doubts and fears. Mm-hmm. It's new terrain. So what did I do?
That's just because they're coming out of their being exhumed kind of thing.
That's very good. You're good at this. I like that.
I'm having fun.
Yes, well, so am I. We're dancing well together.
Yes, we are.
So what did I do? I could have given up.
Mm-hmm.
I could have wrestled those to the ground. I could have went to a therapist. I could have done any number of things. But what I did was Ho'oponopono.
Hmm.
So all of these self-doubts are coming up about me and music, and I'm saying, okay, I don't know where you came from, but please forgive me. Please, and here's what I'm really saying so people understand there's really a longer process when you say the four statements. Please forgive me for being unaware of my own programming. I'm sorry that the software of my mind has been wired to prevent me from following a passion that I'm so drawn to. Thank you for erasing and cleaning and clearing all of the limiting beliefs around this issue so I can experience being what I want to be, which is a musician. I love you for taking care of me, for protecting me, for giving me life, for giving me the ability to create what I want. That's what I'm really saying in a longhand longhand kind of way when I'm saying the short form of I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. So I'm saying that in a very short amount of time, all of that is leaving me. I produced my first album in 3 months.
Wow, that's really fast.
It ends up being an instant bestseller. It's still selling like crazy. Then my first singing songwriting album about 4 months after that. That ends up being in Rolling Stone magazine as well as Texas Monthly magazine.
Wow, that's pretty fast to get to the top there, Joe.
Well, and I'm not done because I feel the impulse to make more music. So I come out with a couple more CDs. 10 of my songs, and I'm writing my own music, I'm writing my own songs. 10 of my songs are nominated for the POSY Award, which is the Grammys of positive music.
Wow.
And now I'm releasing my 7th album, and I'm doing my best to make sure all the music is around core messages. Like the title of this next album is Reflection.
Hmm.
And the message is everything around us is a reflection of what's in us, the very thing I'm talking about. So all of this new career as a musician, absolutely recreating myself within a short span of 3 years, has been possible. It's been brought to you by Ho'oponopono.
Oh, wonderful. Well, that's what puts you at zero, right? Because you're now releasing more and more of these negative limiters, right?
And I'm working like anybody else to get it to at zero. If there's any goal, which sounds kind of ironic because at zero wouldn't even have a goal, but if there's any goal from this place in time that I'm speaking, it would be to be at zero. And again, at zero is the place where those programs that have been given to me to help me survive would be replaced by a trust in divinity, which would inspire me to do whatever's next. In fact, the book At Zero came from zero itself. I wasn't ready to write another book. I thought when I wrote Zero Limits, I was done with that book on Ho'oponopono. Mm-hmm. I'd write music. I have other books, of course, but for the one on Ho'oponopono, I wrote it, Zero Limits. I didn't think I could ever do anything better than that. Mm-hmm. 7 years pass, and the divine starts whispering in my soul, it's time, Joe. It's time for the sequel. And I did wrestle with that a little bit, thinking, oh, come on, I don't even know what to say. And it basically said, just start writing. And I started writing, and son of a gun, 2 weeks later, which if you know anything about writing books, or anybody listening knows about writing books, writing a book in 2 weeks is breaking the sound barrier.
Yeah, it's unheard of, yeah.
Yeah.
And so it just flooded through you.
I was a stenographer. It came to me and I wrote it down, and basically I kept saying, yes ma'am, this is what you want me to write, yes ma'am, I'll write it. And even
that.
The uncomfortable stuff, because if you remember from the first part of the book where I'm talking about betrayal and my trauma and all the things that were hurting me, I didn't know that I wanted to really put that in the book, but I had the trust that the divine was saying, share it, it'll be good for me and it'll be good for whoever reads it. So be open and share it.
Well, I think I'm repeating myself, but one of the things I love about this book is it takes the reader through so many of the phases of your bringing all the pieces of your awakening together in a wonderful spiral. It's very good. Huh? I really enjoy that.
Thank you very much. Well, I'm proud of the book after the fact, but I got to admit that I co-wrote it, but I'm basically a stenographer. The Divine wrote it, so it should say, by Joe Vitale and the Divine.
So it's a real message from the Divine, or each person's Divine, isn't it?
I really think so. Mm-hmm. I really think so. At this point, I come from a very metaphysical view of the world, and I look at the cover. I'm looking at the cover of my own book right now because it's sitting on a shelf beside me, and the cover is calming. The cover, I believe, was inspired. The artist at the publisher had come up with 3 or 4 covers, and when I saw this cover that ended up on the book, I said, that's a cleaning tool.
Mm-hmm.
Just looking at it. But where did that come from? The artist was making covers for the publisher that were very conservative and very traditional and very predictable. And then all of a sudden, he creates something that just blows everybody's socks off. Well, I think it was inspired. I think, you know, metaphysically in a paradigm-shifting kind of view of the world, that was inspired to that artist.
That's really exciting, too, because it does look, and I've got it right here as well, and it's kind of, you can really feel the cool of the waterfall. You can really feel the electricity in it, in the change of the water. Well, and also on your website, people can actually get hold of your CDs, can they? Your music?
My main website is MrFire.com, www.mr, F-I-R-E.com, MrFire.com. And there's links to everything there, my blog and music and past articles and videos and blah. It goes on. Pack a lunch when you go there. You'll be there a while.
And this whole section here, where we're talking about the mainstream media, they're not designed to really get excited about positive stuff, and yet you're really making it into, I mean, people are more people in the mainstream world paying attention to what you're writing, is what I'm saying.
Yes, it's getting to them. Part of the reason is the people in the mainstream world are tired of all of the things they've gone through, and they're searching.
Mm-hmm.
They're seeking. They're looking out for, well, okay, if this isn't working that we've tried before, what else is out there? And thanks to things like the movie The Secret really kind of opened up a world of alternative books and media and things like that. So people saw that, and they might have been confused. They might have been excited. And from there, they start getting curious.
Mm-hmm.
What else is out there? And, of course, a book like mine, Zero Limits and At Zero, takes people way beyond the secret. Some people just aren't ready for it, and other people just soak it up saying, oh, this is the most advanced, most paradigm-shifting material I've ever come across.
Well, are you giving workshops on it still, seminars?
Not recently. I'm really into my music. In fact, I just picked up the saxophone a month ago, and I'm learning how to play the saxophone.
So it's really helping you kind of pick up this musical acumen, huh?
I'm following the muse when it says, okay, Joe, now pick up a saxophone. And I go, what? But yeah. I'll pick one up. And lo and behold, I took to it right away, and I'm just really having a blast. So the seminars are few and far between, but I have so much material online. Mm-hmm. There's even a website for the new book called atzerobook.com.
Atzerobook.com.
Yeah, www.atzerobook.com, so people can see the cover there. And in fact, if they buy the book through that website, they'll get hundreds of dollars worth of new material for free. Mm. But of course, the book is at Amazon. It's on Kindle. It's the audio version is out there. All of this is, there's no shortage of stuff on Ho'oponopono now on the internet.
Are you a narrator on the audiobook?
I am, yes.
Great, okay. Well, yes. That's a wonderful way to do it, too. Run it in the background or in the household or really sort of move people through, too. Okay?
In Zero Limits, the first book was narrated by Dr. Hulin and myself.
Oh, wow.
So that one has the nice touch of having his unusual authoritative Hawaiian voice on it as well as mine.
Oh, that's neat. Is he also doing music, or what's he doing? Is he self-actualizing in new levels all the time?
Well, I imagine he is. He wants to just play in his garden. He is now in his 70s, and he wants to stop traveling, but the last I heard, he kept saying that Divine keeps pushing me out the door. So he's still doing seminars from time to time. He does them overseas. I know he's done a couple in Japan that really were popular. But he wants to work in his garden. He just wants to kind of meditate and be with his flowers and plants.
And be with the divine. Okay, so beyond At Zero, or around At Zero, you also have a website on creating miracles, right?
Well, you might be referring to my miracles coaching.
Yeah. Are you
program.
Able to,
yes.
to just, I mean, some of the things that you've told us you're doing with Ho'oponopono. Ho'oponopono.
Yes, that's
but
it.
But some of what you've been doing with that, we would consider miracles all along, right?
Oh, I believe so. Mm-hmm. I'm a great believer in having a coach, meaning that Morna was a coach to Dr. Hulin. Dr. Hulin was a coach to me. We all need somebody, I believe, to help us out of our own paradigm, our own mindset. It's too easy to look out from our own eyes and think this is the way the world is because we're seeing it through our own belief system. Mm-hmm. If we have somebody that can help us see that we're perceiving the world through a belief system, then they can help us change that paradigm into something that's more empowering and more freeing and more unlimited. And with that in mind, I created Miracles Coaching about 5 years ago. Mm. There's a website for it, miraclescoaching.com. And these are coaches who were trained by me to help people get clear, to erase beliefs, to dissolve the limiting programs so that they can have, do, and be what they want. And one of the methods that is taught and used there is Ho'oponopono. Mm. It's very important in my life, so it's very important in coaching, and the Miracles coaches do that. So there's a website, miraclescoaching.com.
And, that's wonderful. I haven't explored that yet, but I will.
Okay.
But also the other thing is the secret mirror.
Yes.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, the secret mirror is a more involved online process. There is, I don't know the website offhand, so if you have it, you can give it out. Or maybe people can just search for the secret mirror.
I have to flip my pages.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the secret mirror is my way of helping people discover and release what I call counter-intentions. Let me quickly explain what that is. A conscious intention is what most people know of when they say, I intend to attract more money.
Right.
A unconscious counter-intention is the one that gets in the way that says, money's bad, money's evil, rich people are greedy, you don't deserve money, you don't deserve good things. Any of those kind of beliefs can veto the conscious intention. So we want to get clear of counter intention. Mm. I developed a process called the secret mirror where people can look into a mirror and see their future self. And this future self is one who's already gotten rid of the counter intention.
Oh, okay.
So the future self in the mirror can kind of report back and advise and coach you in present time on how they got rid of the counter intention. So that's a very oversimplified approach to explaining it, but the profound nature of it is you get clear of the very things that are blocking you from having, doing, or being what you want.
That's wonderful. And do people use an actual mirror? I mean, we said to do it online, right?
Yeah, you can do it online, but I tell them to get a pocket mirror, or even there's little programs you can put on your iPhone that'll turn the camera into a mirror even, so you're looking at yourself. But I say to look into a mirror. I even do it myself, but I just walk into the bathroom and I'll look in the mirror, and I'll just pretend that this is the Joe from the future, and whatever it is that I'm wrestling with right now, I'll imagine that that Joe from the future already resolved it. It's old news to him.
Mm-hmm.
It's history to him, and I'll ask, okay, how did you do that?
Hmm.
And it's a way to tap into the brain and get a different creative answer, because if we sit here in the moment trying to resolve a problem in the moment, it's too easy to be wrapped up in the same perception that created the problem.
That's true,
step out of the paradigm, and the secret mirror is one way to do that.
Well, that's wonderful. So I guess if we're going to look at future books from you, we're not going to do that till after you get the music awards, right?
I am a prolific author. I have a book coming out in a couple weeks that you are going to absolutely love.
Oh, good. Tell us about it.
And I co-authored it with my music producer. His name is Daniel Barrett. Mm-hmm. And the book is called The Remembering Process.
Oh, wow. That sounds
And the
exciting.
Remembering Process has a whole lot to do with part of what I just explained with the secret mirror. It's the idea that in the future, in some time and place, and it could even be on another planet, we'll just go with whatever the visual is right now, there is a version of you that already has attracted and achieved and accomplished everything that you've been dreaming about.
Okay.
And what you do is contact that person and remember back to how you resolved all your issues and get to that ideal place in the future. The Remembering Process is the first book in history to detail all of this.
Mm.
When Daniel taught me this process, I was struggling with learning how to write songs. And I sat there with him. We were in his studio, and I said, I just don't really know how to write a song. And he said, it's easier to remember than to create.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I said, what? He said, it's easier to remember than to create. And that was the beginning of teaching me the remembering process, which enabled me to write songs at record speed, which has led to all of these albums and all this other stuff, because a lot of them were just remembered. So I was using Ho'oponopono to get clear of my inner interference and using the remembering process to tap into another level of creativity that existed, but I wasn't able to reach it. And now I could. And so I've written a song about it. The remembering song is on this new album that'll be coming out. But Daniel and I have written the book, The Remembering Process book, and Hay House is publishing it, and it'll be out on, I think, April 7th.
How wonderful. Well, maybe we'll get to talk about that, too.
Yes, you should have Daniel and I come on so he can tell you firsthand about it, and I can chime in.
And that would be fun. I'd love that. I've really enjoyed this. And we're almost at the very end here, but no, wait a sec. We're almost at zero.
True for all of us. We're almost at zero.
And I guess getting to zero, or at zero, is something that we keep doing, right? It's not something you can stay at.
Well, I believe it is something you can stay at. That's when that fourth stage of awakening, it's a stage I describe in the book At Zero, that stage takes place and you have an awakening experience that's permanent. At that point, the divine or God or life lives and breathes through you. That's when inspiration can come through and direct you without the programs or the data or the BS filtering and interfering with its message. So yes, we can be there, but it comes by grace. It's not something we can, you know, fill out an order form and send it to Amazon and it'll say, yes, we will get your enlightenment by Friday. It doesn't happen that way. We prepare for enlightenment or awakening, and it comes by grace. And one of the ways to prepare is with the state. statements. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, and so easy and free.
And you know what's really interesting? You don't have to belong to anything or, right? We don't have to kind of anything. And I feel like you're so graciously giving. Talk about grace.
Oh, thank you.
Your information is so vibrant, and people should check your website, which is joevitale.com, right?
Yes, yes.
And the other one is Dr. Fire?
Mr. Fire. They really go to the same place, but Mr. Fire, MRFIRE.com.
I like that name. That's great.
Yeah, it was given to me a long time ago. A woman I know said, she started calling me Mr. Fire, and I said, why are you calling me that? She said, you set a fire under everybody you talk to. You're
well,
always
I agree
inspiring them and encouraging them. So you're Mr. Fire.
Right on. This
and I said,
great.
Wow, I'll keep that. Thank you.
Well, I just love talking to you, and I hope we'll be talking about the remembrance process in a few months, and I hope everybody
whenever you
does.
Want. This has been a great joy. I love what you're doing. I love you, and Godspeed to all your listeners.
And to you. Thank you so much for your wonderful work.
Thank you.
Bye. Wow, I've had a fire lit under me, and I hope you have as well. That was Dr. Joe Vitale with his latest book, At Zero, and we're eager to hear his music as he carries on with the wonderful healing and forgiving prayer of the Ho'oponopono. I keep screwing that word up. But anyway, thank you so much for listening. This is Veronica Entwistle saying for any feedback, veronicaentwistle.com. Good night. Many blessings.